may be seated. Good morning. Boy, the first hour. Good morning. I'm so glad you guys are here this morning, ready to praise God and ready to know a little bit more about God. If you're a guest this morning, we're delighted you're here. We're excited that you came. And our hope and dream and desire is that today you will find a home. You will find a place that you feel like, man, I just learned so much about God, and there's something unique and special here, and we want you to be part of this family. And so, and for those of you who brought someone, just I want to encourage you and just say, you know, thank you for doing that. Let's just try and invite and bring people here so they can too know God just like you know Him. And so, now part of our mission here, this church, is real simple. It's really it's us leading you to know God and make Him known. And that's our mission. That's when we think about you, we think, you know, how can we best lead you to know God and to make Him known in this city? And our vision, our dream for this city is that every man, woman, and child would have an opportunity to know Him, to get to know Him, that every man, woman, and child would get that opportunity. Now, what that means for us is that we want to be the kind of church that is pursuing people to know Him. We're making Him known. We're pursuing Him. And which means that we want to be the kind of church, the kind of people, the kind of family that reaches throughout all sorts of barriers and lines. In other words, we want to reach Hispanics. We want to reach Black or African American. We want to reach Anglos, we want to reach Asian, our 0.1% Asian here. We want to reach every man, woman, and child. That's what it means. It means that at some point we want to see this church be represented by every ethnicity that resides in this county. And we have that dream because we know that in heaven that's going to be the reality, and we want a little bit of that reality here to be our reality. And we want not only to be ethnically diverse here, not only are we pursuing diversity through our culture, but also we want to really reach people that are affluent. We want to reach people that are middle class or upper middle class, and we want to reach the poor too. We want to be the kind of church where you look around and you're like, hey, wait a minute. Like, there's got to be something unique here because people of different socioeconomic backgrounds are here worshiping one God. You know, that's our dream. Our dream is that we would have grandpa coming in here with his daughter, who single mom, who and the child, the teen here as well. We want to be able to have the old, the young, and the teens here. Because we want to be a diverse church. We want to represent, again, what we see in heaven in part here. And if we could even achieve that for just a little glimpse, if we could just even get close to seeing that, where we would turn around and see, man, he looks different than I do, but boy, this has got to be a God thing because only God can make it happen that people that are different can come together and worship the one God. I can see it. I can see it in my head. When I wake up in the morning, that's what I see. That's what I desire. That's what we desire. That's what the elders desire, the staff desire. And my hope and dream is that most of you desire that too. That we would be that kind of church. The church in town. The church in the county that is diverse. But in order to get there, in order to be at that place, it's going to require one thing. And that one thing that's going to be required, that it can happen with this one thing, and that one thing is faith. That if we don't bring faith to the table, if we don't bring this aspect of faith to bring bareness or to bear into the issue of diversity, we're not going to see it. We're just not going to see it. We're going to need faith. And so this morning, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, because I want to show you what faith can do. What faith can do to this church, what faith can do in your life. So go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And it reads like this. It says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. In other words, the blind men are saying, hey, help us out. We can't see. You know, that's the implication there. It's like, have mercy on us. But do something about our current situation. We cannot see. We cannot see. Verse 28, when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked them, do you believe, or Jesus asked, do you believe that I am able to do this? So the single question that Jesus asked these two guys, and now in a more private setting inside the home, is saying, do you believe that I can do what you're asking me to do? And the response is, yes, Lord, they replied. Verse 29, then he touched their eyes and said, and this is the important phrase, If you have a paper Bible or even an electronic Bible, highlight this verse, because this is going to be our anchor verse for the rest of the series. And Jesus says this, according to your faith, will it be done to you. According to your what? Faith. Say it with me. Faith. According to your faith, will it be done to you? So you have a request, and your request is to be able to see, and maybe even for the first time, to be able to see. And he says, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And their sight was restored. And I see that passage, and what comes to mind, what I observe on that passage is that God had conditioned the type of blessing that he would give on the type of faith that they would possess. In that very verse, we see that God would, in essence, say, you know, I'm going to give you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you something, but that something is going to be in proportion to the amount of faith that you have. And so he combines those things, that his blessing would have the string attached faith into it. Their blessing would match their faith. So in other words, if they came into the situation and they were like, God, you know, heal us. I want to be able to see. But their faith, their trust in Jesus to do that would have been like, well, I'm going to see blurry. God would have done that. They would have seen blurry afterwards. You know, if their faith would have been like, you know, do something, Jesus. And then they're asking, they're really not quite sure that he's going to do it. They're like, well, we really don't believe, but, you know, we're just going to ask anyway, just in case, you know, flip the coin. They wouldn't have been able to see. But rather, the blind men go to Jesus. They're like, we believe. We believe you can do it. We believe that it is in your power to do it. And Jesus responds by actually doing it because they had the faith. So listen, folks, this is what I'm trying to say, is that we get to choose how much blessing God gives us. But the determining factor is going to be your faith. We get to choose how much blessing God will pour into your life, into our life, but what's going to be determining that kind of blessing and how much of it comes your way. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have challenges. You're going to have challenges, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But you want blessing to come into your life, you're going to have faith. Faith. Because without it, you can't have it. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, it says, everything is possible for the person who has what? Faith. Who has what? Faith. How many things are possible? Everything. Everything is possible for the person who has faith. How many of you here this morning would like to have just a little bit more faith? Yeah. Most of us would like to have just a little bit more faith. Enough faith that God would just bless the socks out of you. But you know what? Faith is like a muscle. You know, it's like a muscle. If you work out your muscle, it becomes strong. If you don't work out a muscle, it becomes weak. And that's like faith. If you work your faith, if you work it out, then guess what? It becomes strong, and you begin to see blessing in your life. But if it's weak, if you don't use it, if you don't exercise it, guess what happens? It becomes really weak. It becomes really weak. You know, I share with you our mission or our vision, our desired outcome of what we expect here at Two Rivers, and where we want to see the diversity. You know, we want to be able to see. We're asking God that we will be able to impact 10% of this county. That 10% of this county will be represented here at Two Rivers Bible Church. That's what we're believing God for. That kind of blessing. But guess what? In your own personal life, what are you wanting God to do in your life? Because I don't want you to miss out. I really don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to finish that rainbow and be like, where's the pot of gold, you know? Because I don't want you to miss out on what God has in store for you. God has a lot in store for you. He's got blessing in store for you. He wants to have, you know, give you favor in your life. And I don't want you to miss out on that. You're going to need faith. You're going to need faith. So in the next series, this series right now that we're going to do, that we're launching today, the goal of it is to build your faith. We're going to go through six areas of faith, or six faith builders, six ways that God uses to build your faith, because God has a very predictable process. He has a very predictable pattern, and there's six phases of faith that we see all throughout Scripture. And to the degree that you're able to identify what season in life you're in will determine whether you're frustrated or excited or patient or just really, really depressed. If you understand what season God has you in, if you're able to understand that, guess what's going to happen? You'll be able to cooperate with God. You'll be able to cooperate with God. But if you don't understand what season in life he has you in, what faith season he has you in, you might end up frustrated, depressed, confused, maybe even discouraged. So how do you build faith? How do you build faith? This morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the six phases of faith, the six phases that God uses to build your faith. It's going to be just kind of like a run through. And then over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're going to focus on each one of those six phases. So we're going to tackle one, and we're going to see all six of them today. And then next week, we're going to take number one, two, three, and we're going to go that way. And so the first faith builder, the first area that God uses to build your faith, because we all want that faith, we want that muscle exercise. The first area he uses to exercise your faith muscle is this. He gives you a dream. God gives you a dream. And when he gives you a dream, he's giving you a dream. And I don't mean like an actual dream, but I mean like a desire. I mean like he gives you something deep inside your soul, an aspiration, something you want to accomplish. God always starts with a dream. Always starts with a dream. When God wants to work in your life, he gives you an ambition, a dream, a desire about yourself, about the people around you, about the world around you, about what you can actually do to impact the people around you. Rick Warren put it this way. Faith is choosing and believing God's dream for your life. Nothing starts happening in your life until you start dreaming. God gave you the ability to dream, to create, to imagine, to imagine. And there's tons of biblical examples of that. There's tons of biblical examples of that. God gave Noah a dream. Build an ark. God gave Abraham a dream that he would be the father of a great nation. God gave Joseph a dream that he would be the leader that would rescue or help or save his people. He gave Nehemiah a dream that he would rebuild the walls of Jerusalem so that they would not be attacked any longer. God gave David a dream to build the temple of God. What dream has God given you? What dream has God given you? Because God is giving, I think, all of us a dream. A dream. Your dream may be that God has placed maybe a dream in your heart to start a business. Maybe it's a dream of having an extraordinary marriage. Maybe the dream is that God, you would be able to stay home and take care of your family from home. Maybe the dream is that you would go to school, go to college. Maybe the dream is that you would impact your campus or impact your work. Maybe your dream that God has placed in your heart is to do something significant for him and for his kingdom. Maybe it's the dream of expanding a business so that you can contribute more into the kingdom of God. What is a dream that he has given you? And second of all, how do you know it's God's dream for you? How do you know it's God's dream? This is the answer on that question. How do you know if it's a God dream? A dream from God will require faith. A dream from God will require faith. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. In other words, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. Let me say that again. If your dreams, if the dream that God has placed in your heart, in your life, for you to do, for you to accomplish, for you to desire to do, if it's not big enough, if it doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. Because God gives us this desire, this ambition that's bigger than us that requires him to show up. That's how you know it's a God dream. That's how you know that it's God the one placing that ministry opportunity, that dream to serve, or the dream to invest in the life of people, the dream to give, whatever it might be. You know it's God's dream when it's way too big and you're like, I can't possibly do this. That the only way that it could be accomplished is if God shows up. But let me give you a warning. God's dream for you will never, ever contradict his word. Never contradict it. If you feel like, oh, I want to do this, and this is where God is calling me, but it contradicts what he says in his word, that's not his. That's not a dream that he's giving. It starts with a dream. When he gives you a dream, he begins to exercise that muscle of faith in you. Because it makes you nervous, and you're like, well, this is going to require, you know, some faith here. And that's exactly why he gives you a dream. The second phase is this. There comes a point of decision. There comes a point of decision. Nothing is going to happen to that dream until you wake up and put it into action. Nothing is going to happen unless you wake up and put it into action. Do you know that only 1 out of 10 people will decide to actually live out God's dream for them in their life? 1 out of 10. 1 out of 10 people will actually decide, yes, God, you've placed a deep seed in there, a dream for my life, for the life of the people around me, for my business, for the people that I'm doing life with, for where I work. Only 1 out of 10 will live out their dream that God has placed in their heart. 1 out of 10. The difference between a dream and a wishful thinking is what you do today. That's the difference between a wishful thinking and a dream. Wishful thinking is to say, oh, I wish one day, you know, I'd be able to fill in the blank. Be a doctor, or, you know, be a teacher, or move up in the, you know, in my business, or be a manager, or have children, or the dream of marry well, marry a godly man or a godly woman. The difference between that and wishful thinking and an actual dream is that when it's a dream from God, like, you don't just wait. You start working towards it. You start working towards it. Go to James chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 8. It says, you must believe and not doubt. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. In other words, what he's saying is, there comes a point where you have to make up your mind and follow God's dream. Faith is never, never passive. And some of you are on that crossroad. You know what God is calling you to do. You know what God is put in your heart and to aspire or dream about. And you're like, I don't want to make a choice. But he's trying to work that faith muscle in you. He's trying to work that muscle that we call faith. You can have a million-dollar dream with a minimum wage work ethic. You just can't. You can have a million-dollar dream with a minimum wage work ethic. You have to choose. You have to decide. It comes the point in the crossroads. You have to say, I'm going to decide to go all in, whatever all in means. It might mean that you invest time. You invest money. You invest resources, reputation, maybe even energy. You've got to make that choice. You can't be the 9 that said, I don't know, I'm too scared. you know, I don't want to step out in faith in this one because remember, to the degree that we step out in faith, the stronger the belief in God, the bigger the blessing, the bigger God shows up in your life. It might mean that you have to let go of certain things like security. You might have to let go of your past experience that still haunts you today. You might have to let go of some friendships so that you can live out God's dream for you. I heard this story of a donkey, old donkey, fell into a big ditch. And a donkey falls into a ditch. The owner looks at the donkey, and he's like, well, it's an old donkey. It's impossible to get it out of the ditch. So the owner grabs a shovel and begins to grab that shovel and put some dirt into the ditch and starts doing it more and more times. And as he looks down, the donkey is beginning to just kind of moves, shakes around. The dirt falls into the ground, and the donkey just stomps. And all of a sudden, the neighbors, noticing what this man was doing, came and helped out, and they bring their own shovels, and they're like, you know, we got to bury this donkey. He's old anyway. He's going to die. And so neighbors start shoveling away, and they get dirt, and they put it in the ditch, and the donkey just shakes that dirt and just kind of stomps again and stomps. And this goes, you know, for a good part of the day. Then all of a sudden, they realize that the donkey is real close to the surface level. And the donkey jumps out of that ditch. You see, the donkey had a dream. He didn't want to die. He had a dream. He wanted to get out of that ditch. He knew his life was at risk. But he didn't just sit there and wait. He just dusted off that dirt, stomped at it, and worked at it, made a decision that he would do that. And to the time and the point and place where he could get out of that ditch. For many of you, that's where you're at today. You need to start being the donkey. I'm glad I said donkey too. Wink, wink. And you got to be the donkey. Make a decision. Start throwing that dirt that falls in your back, the criticism, the circumstances, the difficulties, and start jumping out of that ditch. The third phase that God uses to build our faith is this. There is always a period of delay. God will not fulfill your dream immediately. There's always a waiting period. And if you don't understand this principle, this phase, you will be frustrated. If you don't understand the fact that there will be delay before God shows up, you will be frustrated. And maybe you're here this morning, you're frustrated. You're like, but nothing is going on, Jesse. I'm pursuing God's dream for my life. I'm doing action. I'm demonstrating faith. I'm working at it, but nothing is happening. You're in this phase, phase three. There's always a period of delay. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be depressed and frustrated and confused. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, God says, but these things I plan won't happen right away. Are they going to happen right away? No. Are they going to happen right away? Nope. Not according to this passage. It says slowly. Oh my gosh, the word slowly. It's a killer. Slowly, steadily, surely. The time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. I read it that way because that's the way we see it, right? We're like, slowly? You got to be kidding me. I'm an American. We do. We know Americans, we hate to wait. We want it yesterday. And God is not American. I don't know if you've noticed. He's not waving an American flag. You know, he's not American. He wasn't born here. God, he's into the waiting game. He waits. He delays. God wants to work in you before he works on your project. He wants to work in you, and he does that by delay. Never forget that delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. And we seem to think that oftentimes. We think that, oh, because God is delaying the fruition of a dream, then somehow he must be denying. Not necessarily, folks, not necessarily. I'm going to give you a sobering warning, and that is don't downgrade your dream to match your reality. Upgrade your faith to match your destiny. Don't downgrade your dream to match your reality. Upgrade your faith to match your destiny. And this is what I mean by that. Oftentimes, when we get stuck and we feel like God is not showing up in my marriage, God's not showing up in my family, God's not showing up in my business, God's not showing up in my work side, God's not showing up, we tend to downgrade our dream. We tend to say, okay, I'm going to give God an excuse. Maybe he doesn't want me to have that much impact after all. Maybe he doesn't want my marriage to succeed. Maybe he doesn't want my parenting to succeed. So I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to downgrade my dream. I'm just going to downgrade it a little bit here to match the current reality. And that could be the biggest mistake you could do. You got to upgrade your faith. You got to upgrade your faith, not downgrade your dream. Because you might be in a period of delay, not in a period of denial. The fourth phase is this, and that is expect some difficulty. Expect some difficulty. This is important. This is very, very, very important you understand this. Not only do you get to wait, you get to have problems while you wait. That's the way God does it. If you want your faith to be built like a muscle, if you want to have strong faith, if you want to have the kind of faith where God just pours abundantly on you, His mercy, his grace, his blessing, there's going to have to be some difficulty, folks. There's going to have to be some difficulty. And there's oftentimes two types of difficulties. There's circumstances and there's critics. Circumstances and critics. You see, I've noticed that if God wants to build your faith, the circumstances are going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. Guess what, folks? Your marriage is not going to be easy. Your kids, we all know, it ain't going to be easy. Teens, living with your parents is not going to be easy. It's just not easy. Criticism as well. The bigger the dream, the bigger the critics. The bigger the dream God has in store for you and impact in the world around you, the more vicious and viral and just mean-spirited of the critics that you begin to face and confront. So you got to ask yourself the question during those moments, why does God do this? You know what the answer is? He wants to strengthen your faith. That's why. That's why we find ourselves in moments of difficulty, because he wants to strengthen your faith. Do you remember Joseph in the Bible? He sees a dream. He knows that he's going to rescue his family one day. He sees two dreams, and he knows he's going to be a leader one day. And when he becomes a leader, he's going to save his people while they're in Egypt. He doesn't know that at that point, that he's going to be in Egypt when he does this, but he's got this dream, this vision that God places in his heart. And so what happens? He doesn't become the savior of his people right away. As a matter of fact, his brothers, what do? They throw him into a ditch. He didn't know the parable of the donkey, so he didn't know that when they put dirt, that he had a stomp. But next thing you know it, they sell him off into slavery. And he's in slavery. He's in the house of a person that has a pretty good-looking wife, but the boss is never there, and she hits on him. And so next thing you know it, she's saying, he's trying to rape me, and it wasn't true, and he lands himself in jail. Boy, that's difficulty, isn't it? Falsely accused, and then he's in prison for a couple more years. And he continues to build his faith, and his skills get developed in prison. Of all places. Then somebody finds out that he's got this special gift. And he ends up being the number two guy to the big wig of Egypt, Pharaoh. And because he's the number two guy, he's able to save his people when there's a time of famine. Difficulty. I don't know what kind of difficulties you're going through, but tell you what, whatever difficulty you're going through, you got to think about Joseph. Like Joseph, that was tough. But the dream came true in his life. What God had placed in his heart, God fulfilled. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, at the present, you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. I love that translation, harassed, because that's what it feels like. When you're amidst trials, you feel like somebody's harassing you. You may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. This is no accident. This is no accident. It happens to prove your what? Faith. Say it with me. To prove your what? Faith. Which is infinitely more valuable than gold. What he's saying is like, hey, wait a minute. That the reason that you're amidst difficulty is because God is building your faith. When you find yourself fighting or in a relationship or even when it's difficult, you have a dream and aspiration and where you do life, maybe starting a ministry or whatever it may be, or serving in ministry or giving, whatever area, when you find yourself in a challenging situation, you got to remind yourself that. You got to remind yourself that God has a purpose, and the purpose is to build your faith. Is to build your faith. Elizabeth Elliot put it this way. She said, don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Because that's what we tend to do, isn't it? Difficulty comes. We say, okay, I'm just gonna forego what God placed in my heart to begin with. Instead of just sticking to it, because it's a faith builder. The fifth phase is this. Don't be surprised if there's a dead end. Don't be surprised if there's a dead end. The dream may go from difficulty to impossible. Impossible. And if you don't understand that, that dynamic of going from difficulty to just straight impossible, you're going to really be frustrated. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, it says, Paul is saying this. He says, at that time, we were completely overwhelmed. The burden was more than we could bear. Notice that. It was more than we could bear. He says, we couldn't bear it. It was just way too much. In fact, we told ourselves that this was the end. So they're even having some self-talk and saying, man, this is the end. We can't, you know, the dream that God placed for us to reach the people, to make God known, is coming to an end. Yet we now believe that we had this sense of impending disaster so that we might learn to do what? We might learn to what? Trust. That the reason that it seemed like they were at a dead end is because God had intentioned that so that they could trust, not in ourselves, but in God who can raise the dead. Very, very fascinating passage. That the reason that it seemed like a dead end, like it was disaster, like it was just an impending disaster in front of them, was because God wanted to teach them not to depend on themselves, but rather to depend on God. Then it says, but in God who can raise the dead. Don't miss that. When you find yourself in a dead end, God can raise the dead. If God can raise people from the dead, he can raise up your dream. He can raise up your marriage. He can raise up your aspiration that God put in your heart. He can raise it up because he can raise people from the dead. God often lets problems become impossibilities so you can trust him instead of trusting yourself. Take, for example, Moses. Remember Moses? God calls him to bring his people out, and he does. The people are coming out. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in the Red Sea, and the Red Sea is a sea. It's just water. And behind him is an army of Pharaoh, and in front of him is just a whole lot of water. A dead end. A dead end that he could not do anything about. He couldn't build the boats. He couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't swim it. He couldn't have a whole bunch of people swimming this Red Sea. It was way too long, too deep. And in those moments when you have the Red Sea in front of you and Pharaoh's army behind you and you find yourself in a dead end, let your faith be bigger than your fears. Let your faith be bigger than your fears. The sixth phase is this. Expect to see deliverance. Expect to see deliverance. At the end, God comes in and delivers. There's a miracle. There's a solution. God shows up. Continuing on that passage of 2 Corinthians, Paul continues and he says, he has delivered. In other words, he's reminding now himself to himself, he's delivered in the past. But then further on, it says, and he will deliver us again. That's faith. That's faith from Paul saying, he's going to deliver us again. Guess who gets the credit when that happens? God does. That's why it's so impossible. That's why it's a dead end. That's why you can't do anything about it. That's why it's out of your control already. It's because if you continue in that road of believing God, when he rescues you, when he provides that miracle, when he shows up, you will not be able to say, kudos to me. You will only be able to say, God showed up. The best response to a dead end is to expect God to act. Are you expecting God to show up, or have you given up already? In Psalm 27:13, it says, David's saying this. He says, I am expecting the Lord to rescue me. He's what? Expecting. Say it with me. He's what? Expecting. I am expecting the Lord to rescue me again so that once again I will see his goodness to me. When you wait for deliverance, then God gets the credit. Remember Moses? Pharaoh's army behind him. In front of him, a Red Sea. Who parts it, if not God? He parts the sea. Who gets the credit? God got the credit. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're going to take each one of those phases, and we're going to hone in. For some of you, you don't know where to start. You don't know how to have a dream. What dream has God placed in your heart? You're not quite sure when I'm talking about it. Like, what is he talking about? Next week, we're going to focus on the dream phase. And then we're going to go that way over the course of the next couple of weeks and explore this whole concept of God building your faith through these six phases. I want to encourage you to bring others. This is just a review this morning. Bring others, bring people, bring your friends and family as they begin to also see themselves in God's master story. Let us pray. Lord Father, we thank you so much. We praise you. You are the dream giver.